Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Jesus' response to not worrying is to put God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He's going to be about your business if you're about His business. And as a believer, I'm going to ask the question now, are you putting God first? Are you seeking His kingdom first? That is going to help you in anxiety and stress and worry and fear.
In today's world, there is a lot to be worried and anxious about. But Jesus commands us not to worry. Not only that, but He tells us to cast all our anxiety on Him, to put Him first and keep our eyes on Him, and He will be our peace. With a powerful and popular, timely message out of Philippians 4, 6, and 7, here comes Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, we want to thank You for Your word. It is rich, it is deep, it is powerful, it is profound. It does not return back void. It equips us for everything that we need. It is alive and active. It works in the hearts of those who believe. And Lord, we believe. And it's like a seed that when fallen on a good heart produces 30, 60, and 100 fold. And Lord, we pray that our hearts would be good. If they're rocky, if they're weedy, if it's hard, then we pray that You would break it up, help us to clear it out, that we could have a good heart and Your word could do the work in our lives. And we realize that we are interacting with something that is inspired today. Your word is inspired, and we thank You that we can interact with it today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The title of our message today is Overcoming Anxiety the Biblical Way. I have a second title, and that is Overcoming Fear When Life is Unraveling. Because oftentimes when we talk about overcoming anxiety, we have a tendency, and us pastors, have a tendency to trivialize trouble. We talk about worries like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. Most of the things that you worry about never happen, so you're worrying about things that shouldn't happen. And certainly there are mental disorders. It is said that 70% of Americans have, or will have, a mental disorder connected to anxiety before it is all said and done. So there's a good chance that you have been anxious about something you should not have been anxious about. There's a good chance, 70% chance, that it will happen in your lifetime. However, sometimes life unravels. Sometimes life takes dark turns. Sometimes life takes ugly turns. And sometimes you find yourself with things that you really are anxious about, and there's no way to get away from it. I know personally I've got something going on in my life now that is a legitimate anxiety, causes me legitimate fear. And this particular study has been very helpful for me. I've had a couple of weeks to prepare for it, and going back and just looking at these verses that I'm going to be sharing with you guys tonight, it is extremely powerful and will really help us to know that God can make a difference even when something is legitimate. And I don't want to trivialize it at all. You may be dealing with some kind of anxiety that doesn't mean anything, like poor paramedics that get called to panic attacks. The person thinks they're having a heart attack, and you might have been that person, right? That have called or gone to the hospital. I think I'm dying. I'm having a heart attack. And they're like, no, nothing wrong with you. Go ahead and go home, only to come back the next day, right? I think I'm dying. I'm having a heart attack. Once again, I would like to start with a study that I found, an article that I found out of the Mayo Clinic. And I want to read the opening statement to it. And then I want to share with you what they say happens to us from anxiety. Now, they coupled together in this article, anxiety, fear, and worry. Here's what they say. Stress symptoms may be affecting your health, even though you might not realize it. You may think illness is to blame for the irritating headache or the frequent insomnia or your decreased productivity at work, but stress may actually be the cause. A little bit later on in the same article, they say, indeed, stress symptoms can affect your body, your thoughts, your feelings, and your behavior. Being able to recognize common stress symptoms can help you manage them. Stress that's left unchecked can contribute to mental health problems and health problems such as high blood pressure, heart disease, obesity, and diabetes. They then give this chart, and the chart tells you which way it affects your body first. Headaches, muscle tension or pain, chest pains, fatigue, change in sex drive, stomach upset, sleep problems. And then they talk about your mood. They say it can give you anxiety, restlessness on your body, feelings of being overwhelmed, irritability or anger, sadness or depression. And then on your behavior, anger, outbursts of anger, drug and alcohol misuse, they say tobacco use, social withdrawal, and exercising less or more often, that it affects the way that you keep yourself healthy and whatever it is that you do to keep yourself healthy. Now, all of that's a little disconcerting, isn't it? You read it and you think there's a lot of problems that can come from stress. Now, here's what they say you should do if you find yourself stressed out. Getting regular physical activity, practicing relaxation techniques such as deep breathing and meditation, keeping a sense of humor, spending time with family and friends, setting aside time for hobbies such as reading a book and listening to music. Now, I have no doubt, I'm glad you guys had the same response that I had to their help, because I have no doubt that some of this stuff is going to help, all right? I have no doubt about that. They're not putting it in there. There's studies, I'm sure, that they're not like, we got to put something in, so let's put it in. It just seems really trivial to me. You're having anxiety, worry, stress. It's killing you. Read a book. Call a friend. Now, they also add to get help. And what they mean by get help is talk to a therapist, talk to a psychologist, or see a psychiatrist who may give you things for anxiety. And when it comes to anxiety and fear, there's a lot of people are on it. And I looked for the number of how many in the United States are on some kind of a drug that's connected to anxiety and fear, and I couldn't find those numbers, but it's a lot. And I do want to say at this point in the study that if you are on some kind of a drug for some mental health issue, don't stop taking your, don't just all of a sudden decide to stop taking your drugs. I'm not one of those pastors that says this is of the devil and you don't need those things. The brain, your mind operates in your brain. Your brain operates off of electric impulses and chemicals, and something could be wrong with your brain just like something could be wrong with your heart. And so if you do want to get off of your drug, which maybe it is overprescribed, I believe it is, and maybe you do want to get off of it, do it under a doctor's supervision and do it with your doctor's advice. Go to your doctor and talk to them about you want to change your medication, reduce your medication. Don't just do it on your own, all right? And you can't just stop. Some of these things cannot be stopped just cold turkey. There's a process. There's a way in which you have to get off of it, and you've got to get off of it slowly. So that's just a little bit of a warning here. But I want to read you now a couple of verses, a couple of passages. The first one's kind of lengthy, but I think it's worth us reading. And this is Jesus talking about worry, specifically talking about what you eat, drink, and wear. So I'm gonna say Jesus is talking in this passage about something that is more trivial rather than something that could really be fearful. Remember, we have the chemicals that are released with anxiety and stress and fear and worry are there for a reason. So that if we need them in our lives, they're there to help us be able to respond quickly. You know, the whole fight or flight thing. And it's hilarious to me, by the way, when people try to scare people and they've got a fight button instead of a flight button. And some little skinny kid punches some guy in the face because he scared him. It's like, ah, boom. I'm a flight guy. All right. I wish I wasn't. I wish I was a fight guy. But I'm a flight guy. I'll turn and run. I'll scream and run out of the room when I see a small spider. So here's Jesus. He's talking about worry. He says, therefore, I say to you, oh, this, by the way, is Matthew 26, 25 through 33. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? Now, you can't add a cubit to your stature by worrying, but I like to say, what's the favorite height of someone who is 5'9"? 5'10". What's the favorite height of someone who's 5'10"? 5'11". 6'1", right? That's because us guys like to make ourselves taller. We like to tell people we're taller. But you can't change your height by worrying. He goes on to say, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all of these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Jesus' response to not worrying is to put God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He's going to be about your business if you're about his business. And as a believer, I'm going to ask the question now, are you putting God first? Are you seeking his kingdom first? That is going to help you in anxiety and stress and worry and fear. And it's good to look honestly at your life, to examine yourself openly and honestly as to whether or not you really have put God first and are about his kingdom first. I also believe that this is something that we probably have to return to regularly. We come back to putting ourselves first. I like to say that selfishness is our reset button. It's like we get reset, whoop, selfish. We got to come back and put God first. And then we get selfish again. We got to come back and put God first. So it's good to evaluate. Now, here's our text. I want to read it together, but then we're going to come down and we're going to unpack it. Okay? So this is Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. By the way, it's commanded over 300 times in the Bible not to be anxious. It could be the word worry. It could be the word afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. But that's commanded over 300 times. The most of any command in all of the Bible is do not be afraid. And don't you think that's for a reason? God's telling us for a reason. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now, this is an amazing passage. I'm so glad that it is one of them that I memorized when I was still a teenager. Back in those days, we would get cards. We'd go and buy memory cards. We would look at it and flip it over, you know, try to memorize it, try to say it, look back at it again, flip it over and try to look at it again. Then later on, the cards progressed to having little blank spaces that you could buy, and you would have to fill in the blanks until you finally memorized it. And I probably, as a teenager, I'm talking very young, 14, 15 years old, I probably memorized 40 or 50 verses. The interesting thing is, I'm still quoting them today. I own those verses because I memorized them. I put them to memory. And this verse has been particularly helpful to me because when I'm anxious at night and I'm laying in bed and I can't sleep, I have gone over this verse in my mind. Meditate on the word of God day and night, Psalms 1 says. And so I meditate on his word and I would think this psalm through, or this passage through, bit by bit, kind of like I want to do with you guys here today. So let's take just a moment to talk about God's word and the power that's in God's word. And I kind of did this when we had our opening prayer, but I want to read you just a couple of verses. There's 2 Timothy 3:16-17. When someone comes up to me after a service and asks me to sign their Bible, it's always a weird moment for me because I tell them, I didn't write it. You know, I'm not quite sure why you want me to sign it, but I'll sign it and I'll put 2 Timothy 3:16-17 in it because I'm, you know, signing God's word. Here's what it says. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, which means we're studying something that's inspired and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, I like to throw in woman of God as well, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That means everything I need when it comes to these things, correction, doctrine, righteousness, comes from the Word of God. I'm not saying that there might not be some truth that is not in the Bible, but I'm saying everything we need for life and godliness comes from the pages of Scripture. Doesn't mean a doctor might not go in and operate on me, didn't find the information in the Bible, right? But it means for what I need in Christ comes from the Word of God. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You are his disciples if you abide in his word. That's our sign. That's how we know. When people say to me, how do I know I'm saved? My response will be, do you want to keep his word? It doesn't mean we always do, because we know the Bible says that our flesh struggles against our spirit and that we don't do the things that we want because the flesh and the spirit are in this battle. So we need forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1 says, if anybody says they have no sin, they're lying. And the truth's not in them. But later on, it tells us that if we're in Christ, we do not sin and the evil one can't touch us. And so by looking at those two verses, we realize that we want to keep God's word and we do it, but sometimes we fail. That's how we interact with God's word. And I just want to give you the priority once again of making sure you're reading God's word, you're memorizing God's word, you're studying it, you're listening to it, and an encouragement that you study the things you're interested in. Find something, like if it's anxiety, find out all of the things that the Bible says. Go do a deep dive into anxiety in the Bible. Things that I couldn't share with you with one study, you can dive into and find more and more that comes from God's word. So here we are, unpacking God's word, which is inspired, and we want to do the things that are here. First of all, the command, be anxious for nothing. And I told you that this command is given over 300 times in the Bible. With this command, when Jesus gave a command to someone, he gave the ability to be able to do it. One of the first examples that we see in that in the Bible is the man with the withered hand. Jesus is beginning his ministry. I think he's in Nazareth, if I remember right. And there's a man with a withered hand there. Jesus is there on the Sabbath, and he looks out at the scribes and Pharisees. He's angry because they don't want him to heal this man on the Sabbath day because they think it's breaking the law. And Jesus says to the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. His hand's withered. And someone might say, that's mean to say to a man with a withered hand, stretch out your hand. However, when he tried to stretch out his hand, or as he stretched it out, the power came to be able to do it. Now, I've never healed anybody like that. When I pray for someone to be healed, I usually lay my hand on them and I say, Lord, you said that we will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so I'm asking you to touch them and heal them. But Jesus just spoke it. Pick up your bed and go your way. God gets up, picks up his bed and goes his way. With the command comes the ability to be able to do it. So when the Lord says here through Paul, all scriptures inspired, be anxious for nothing, with the command comes the ability to be able to do it. If you're overwhelmed with anxiety right now, he has commanded you to not be anxious, and over 300 times in the Bible. And so with that command, I'm believing some of you guys are feeling peace right now, that God's beginning to settle your heart already as you hear God's command, as you think, okay, I'm going to make an effort to not be anxious, because that's what it takes to be obedient to God's word, right? You're like, I'm going to make an effort here to not be anxious. And God gives you that ability to be able to do it. By the way, loving the unlovable is another thing that as you do it, God gives you the ability to do it. Forgiving the unforgivable is another thing. And I do know there is a time when someone has to repent for restoration. There's also a time Jesus forgave on the cross without them repenting. And the Bible says if we're giving a gift to God and we remember that someone, that we've hurt someone, forgive them. It doesn't say go, and it says forgive them. That's without repentance. So there's a time to let it go. We forgive as we've been forgiven, and we let it go. Restoration might not be able to take place, and we can talk about that in another study about forgiveness, but that's another thing, that with the command comes the ability to be able to do it. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." He's not just saying, fear not. He doesn't just say, fear not. He says, fear not, for I am with you. And then gives all kinds of other reasons why we shouldn't fear. He doesn't just tell us to not be anxious, but throughout the Bible, he tells us why. Because he is our God, because he is good, because he is gracious, because he is merciful, and so on and so forth. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." Such a short verse, so easy to remember, so easy to memorize. And when our mind begins to go out of control, when we can't seem to bring it under control, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Now, the second thing he says is, be anxious for nothing, second command, but everything with prayer. So prayer includes asking, but that's not what prayer is all about. Prayer is the way in which you communicate with God and you listen to him. It's a two-way thing. And God can speak to you. And I'm very careful when God speaks to me, apart from the word of God, I'm very careful to say, I think God said, and I just want to encourage you along those lines, because I hear people say, God told me this, you know, to tell you. It's like, at least you think so. Remember, when it comes to prophecy, don't despise it, but judged by everyone, right? Everybody judges it. So we are to judge what's said. So when someone comes to me and said, God told me to tell you something, and that doesn't happen that much anymore. I think it used to happen when I was younger. People would look at me when I was like 25 teaching. They were like, God told me to tell you this. And I would tell them, well, thank you for sharing. I'm going to pray about it. I'll consider it, but I'm going to test it. And they're like, you're going to judge me? No, I'm going to judge your prophecy. I'm not going to judge you. I literally had somebody tell me one time, you're going to judge me? No, I'm not quite sure you're not judging me with your word, but no, I'm going to test it. So prayer is this interaction with God, and we all want to have that interaction. It's not just asking him to help you with your anxiety. It's praying. It's going for a walk with God. It's sitting out on your back patio and spending time with him.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.